Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of last Sunday's worship service. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor of United Church of Christ of California and the Salem United Church of Christ. Salem's worship is at 8:30, California Sunday School is at 9:30, and their worship is at 10:30. Please join us in person or you can catch us online at our website. We continue our sermon series on the book of Hebrews this morning. We'll be in chapter 3. The writer of Hebrews is talking to Jewish Christians, so he uses illustrations they would understand in Old Testament scriptures to make his point that Jesus is greater than any of their religious heroes like Abraham or Moses. In chapter 3, he focuses on Moses and how the Israelites disobeyed God and had to spend 40 years in the desert. Two different times in chapter 3, the readers are challenged to stay faithful to the very end of their lives. Verse 14 says it this way, "We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold to our original conviction firmly to the very end." He tells them no matter how great Moses was, Jesus is greater, and faith in him is the only way to heaven. How do we stay faithful till the very end of our lives? Chapter 3 gives us a couple of ways. Number 1, fix our thoughts on Jesus. He'll say this again in chapter 12. Consider Jesus. Focus on his death. Focus on his resurrection. Focus on heaven. Then in verse 13 he says, "Encourage one another daily as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." That is one of the reasons why we attend Sunday worship, is to get encouragement from one another so we don't drift away from the faith. Read Jesus' words daily and fellowship with his people regularly will help keep us faithful and strong. We continue to pray for rain in our area. May God bless you and have mercy upon you. Thank you for listening.
This morning our first hymn is Faith of Our Fathers.
Holly Berry leads our children's time.
Good morning, friends. Are you guys even here?
Yes.
Good morning. Today's Father's Day, right?
Yes.
And it's a good day to give thanks to our dads for everything they do for us, right? You made him a paper donut? Could he eat it? No? Oh, it was just paper. I brought some things with me today to help remind us of some of the things that dads do for us. Okay, so let's see what I have in here. What is this?
A wrench.
A wrench, right?
And it's real.
And it is real, and it's kind of dirty, so it's used. So dads fix things, right? They fix things around the house for us. Maybe they put together things for us, like toys or swing sets. Maybe they build things for us, right?
I don't have any broken toys.
You don't have any broken toys because your dad fixes them all, right?
I have a trampoline.
A trampoline? Did dad put that together for you? And that's not easy to put together. Did you know that? Okay, I got something else. What's this?
A glove,
right? A baseball glove. Dads play catch with us. They play sports with us. They help us practice for our games and get ready. They play games with us, right? Like maybe board games. Do they take us biking sometimes? Do all sorts of fun stuff with us? That's pretty important, right? What's this?
Money.
Money, right? Dads work really hard to earn money so that they can pay for things we need, right? Food.
My mom pays money.
Moms are pretty awesome too. But dads work really hard, right? So that we can have food and clothes and a house to live in. And sometimes they buy us things we might want, right? That maybe we don't need. Maybe they buy us a special toy that we want, right? They pay our bills, right? Yeah, that's very important. Okay, I got one more thing in here. It's a toy. It's a toy car, right? Because I couldn't bring a real car in here, right? So you have a lot of those. Well, this reminds us that exactly, Bruce, that dads drive us places we need to go, right? They might take us to school or bring us here to church. Yeah. Maybe they take us to the doctor when we need to go to the doctor, or they drive us to our ball games when we've got a ball game, right? That's just a few things that dads do for us. And each dad is different, right? They have their own unique things that they do for us every single day, right? So today, we want to make sure and tell our dads thank you for those things that they do for us. The Bible tells us that we also have a heavenly Father, God, right? And even though we can't see him, he's very real, and he does a lot of things for us too. He watches over us, he loves us, and he takes care of us every day too, okay? So make sure that you guys remember to tell your dads thank you today, and make sure you remember to tell God thank you also for always being there for you and watching over you. Okay? Deal? Okay, let's say a little prayer. Thank you, God, for dads. They are very important, and we are grateful for all they do. We also want to thank you, God, because we all have you as a wonderful Heavenly Father. Amen. Thank you, friends.
Our special music is by Carmen Brown on her recorder, accompanied by Beth Demp on the piano. Kathy Grant reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, GOAT, Greatest of All Time, Fathers and Jesus.
A song of accents of Solomon. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. Who built it? Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late.
To eat the bread of sorrows.
For so he gives us his beloved sleep. Behold, the children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. That ends that one. The next one is Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Bondservants and masters. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service to the Lord.
Thank you, Kathy. Again, happy Father's Day to everybody out there, and I pray for the ones that no longer have their fathers with them, that today is a day that you can share memories and good thoughts, and that it helps during a day like this when they're no longer with you, because I know we have a lot of ones like that out there. And don't forget your gifts. Again, make sure you get one as you leave out that way, and we got some out this way as well if you're waiting on the elevator. You know, my dad, he coached all my teams when I was younger, taught us how to garden. We were his labor force there in the garden, getting it all ready. We had a big garden too, a really nice big garden that we worked in all the time. And of course, you all see the pictures on Facebook. Ever since I was a little kid, I've been fishing with him. My earliest memories of fishing with my dad. He took us to a pond. The earliest one I can remember is taking us to a pond, I think, in Indiana when we lived there. And using a cane pole, catching bluegill. And I would not let my dad throw any of the bluegill back. The dad that I've had. And when we look at the book of Hebrews this morning, we're going to continue our look. We're going in chapter 2. And we're going to see in there that it was really important to the writer to let his listeners know that Jesus was fully human. That he went through life, of course, a different culture, different time, so there's going to be differences, of course, but he was human. He experienced a lot of the same things that we go through, disappointment, betrayal, hurt. We'll also see that he experienced the loss of a parent. We don't have that recorded in Scripture. We'll talk a little bit more about that there. But for the first time in chapter 2, the first four verses, you will see that the writer of Hebrews gives a warning. And we talked about this last week in introduction. The book of Hebrews is a warning to Jewish Christians, and it's a warning to us that we have to keep constant watch on our faith, that we can walk away, we can drift away. And when you read those first four verses, he doesn't waste any time. He says, we must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. And he wants to get our attention, and we titled this sermon series, The Goat, the Greatest of All Time. And so the writer wants to make sure that we know that Jesus was the greatest human of all time. And what can we learn from Jesus about being a good father, about being a good grandfather, about being a good male influence in our children and our grandchildren and the children of our church? I think we can learn a few things. I'm going to pick up at verse 10 there in chapter 2 if you want to follow along with me. But the writer is going to give us all the reasons we need to know that Jesus went through a lot of the same experiences with us, and we can learn from him because of that. In verse 10 it says, in bringing many sons and daughters to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through what he suffered. Both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. When we name Christ as our Savior, he becomes our sibling. We become part of his family. He says in verse 12, I will declare your name to my brothers and sisters. In the assembly, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here I am, and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. He experienced every human emotion. He experienced what physical death felt like. In verse 15, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. We talked about that last week. Angels are exalted beings. They're wonderful created beings. But Jesus came to die for us. For this reason, he was made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. So he experienced temptation. So being a human being, being a son, being a brother, being a friend to those around, he went through all the experiences that we could imagine to go through. And I know one of the experiences that I went through as a father, that sometimes I would tell terrible jokes to my kids. I know my dad did the same thing, and that's just something that we do as dads. And so dads, if you want to write a few of these down, but I looked up the greatest dad jokes of all time. One of them was, why did the baby strawberry cry? His parents were in a jam. How do you stop bulls from charging? You cancel their credit cards. That's pretty sad. Why did the dad toss his clock out the window? He wanted to see time fly. All right. Now, what did one toilet say to the other? You look flushed. All right. What did the ocean say to the shore? Nothing. It just waved. Okay, this comes to our family because we have so many golfers in the family. Why did the golfer bring two pairs of socks? In case he got a hole in one. This is my favorite. This is my favorite. You'll want to use this in other people's company, all right? Why do seagulls fly over the sea? If they flew over the bay, they would be bagels, all right? That's my favorite one right there. This was one that my dad used. He used it a lot. He maybe used it in a different context, but the punchline is the same. Why did the scarecrow win an award? Because it was outstanding in the field, all right? And then the last one, how do you tell if a vampire is sick? See if he's coughing, all right? Okay, those are sad. Use those if you want to. But when we see Jesus, we want to see what Jesus saw in Joseph. We don't have any recorded words of Joseph in Scripture. We have his reaction. We have recordings of his reactions. We have words of Mary when the angel spoke to her. But we don't have any words of Joseph that was recorded about how he handled things. But what I think Jesus saw in Joseph was, number one, someone who obeyed God's calling. Man, when he got the message, he was looking forward to his wedding day. He was looking forward to marrying the young lady he had his eye on. He gets the message then that Mary is pregnant. The only other thought that could be someone else is in the picture. And instead of doing to her what the law would demand, he was just going to divorce her quietly until God stepped in and gave him the words to say, no, this is because of God. This is the thing that you need to do. You need to marry this young lady and then take her. This is the reason why. We see him obey God's call when he came again in a dream to tell them that they needed to escape the area and that they needed to go to different places for safety for the whole family. But we see someone that was obeying God's call and that they were tuned into it. They could have ignored it, tried to walk away from it, but Jesus saw in Joseph a father who obeyed God's calling. We also, I think, Jesus saw in Joseph that he took his family to church. Church was important. Right after Jesus was born, he took him to the temple to do all the things that the law required. But then later on, we see in Luke chapter 2 that it says there that they went to the Passover, they went to the temple every year. And we see at the age of 12, one of the few recorded incidents of Jesus as a young boy, that when they took him to the temple, Jesus disappeared. For 3 days, they tried to find him, and finally they find him. He's been in the temple teaching. But it says there at the end that after this was over, that Jesus went home with them and he obeyed them because he saw apparent that church was important, that it was something that filled up their life, that something they put on the calendar and on their agenda, that as a baby and as a young man, that he saw a father that only obeyed God's calling, but he went to church regularly. He made it a part of their family's life. And I think finally he saw someone that was respected and obeyed. When Jesus had that interaction with his mother and his dad, and I can only imagine their anxiousness, their worry about their child, because I experienced it one time with my mom when I was not where I was supposed to be as a young boy, and it impressed upon me that I needed to let her know exactly where I was going because she had looked for me and knocked on every door in the neighborhood till she found me. I can understand what Jesus went through. But then it says that he went home and he obeyed and that he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. He saw a father that put faith and family before himself. He saw a father that listened to God and followed his family and protected his family because of it. But then what do we see in Jesus about being a father? He was never a physical father to anyone. But we see in these verses there that he was fully human, so he understood the experiences that we go through as humans and as fathers. I'm sure he had to learn to have instruction under his father. His father was a carpenter. I'm sure he spent many days learning different things about the different things of the trade. I'm sure that he got splinters and maybe cuts in his life, and that probably he was a little frustrated with his father from time to time. I wasn't a very good listener as a young child. My dad would try to teach me how to do something. I'd be shuffling my feet, or I'd be mimicking how to throw a ball. I'd be thinking about playing catch with my friends, and I wouldn't be paying. I missed out on so many things of how to fix things around the house that now my family is paying for now, because my dad would look at me and I wouldn't be paying attention, and he could tell that my mind was on something else. He'd finally just say, okay, just go on and get out of here if you don't want to listen. I missed out on so many things like that. But we see that Jesus himself experienced human emotions as well. That he knew what hunger was like. He knew what thirst was like. He knew what disappointment was like. He knew what the betrayal of friends and family was like. We mentioned it earlier. He knew what the loss of a father was like. I think it's really interesting that we don't have that incident recorded in Scripture. You know, we see Jesus raise different people from the dead. We see him raise complete strangers. We see him heal, you know, blind people. We see him heal lepers. We see him feed 5,000 people that he didn't know personally. Well, we have no recording that when his father was sick and dying, or maybe it was an accident, we don't know exactly what happened to Joseph, that there was no resurrection of his father. Probably the closest male individual in his family. He knew what the grief that his family went through. So when you're thinking about the loss of your parent or thinking about the loss of a grandfather, Jesus knows exactly what that was like. We see that he calls us a brother or he calls us a sister because of the things they went through. We can have that same bond with him. I know this is the time of year for reunions. You know, I saw it on Friday after the funeral. We had the dinner downstairs for Betty Dummermoose family, and I saw friends and family visiting and laughing and sharing stories. Because they've gone through the same experiences. They can talk about grandpa and grandma. They can talk about aunts and uncles. I know when I sit down with my cousins, we will laugh and share stories about our parents and our grandparents because they were the same experiences. We can have that same feeling that with Jesus, that he has walked with us, walked through those same portals that we will walk through one day. What we can also learn from Jesus about being a father is that he prayed regularly. That it was an important part of his life, and that he modeled his life of a life of sacrifice and service to those around him. I think we can learn that as well as fathers and grandfathers. Philippians chapter 2 talks about the life that Jesus lived, the pattern that we are to follow, that he did not consider his own needs or his own desires, his own dreams, something to be followed, but he gave us his example. It says, who in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage? Rather, he made himself nothing. By taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He put our needs before his. That's what fathers and grandfathers do for their family. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. That we know that he walks with us, just like his father walked with him. Jesus walks with us when we make the decisions about how to deal with our children or what things that we should do to benefit them and our whole family. We know that he's walked with us. And he'll walk with us now and also into eternity. But what do our kids need to see in us as fathers and grandfathers? Number one, they need to see that faith is important. They need to see that the things of faith come before the things of the world. Joshua said it to his people before they went into the promised land. He says, you know, it's your decision. You guys can decide for yourself. You can either follow the gods of the people that we've been among for all these years, and like some of the people have done, he says, but for as me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the father and the mother need to make that agreement together. In our house, the things of faith are going to become before the things of the world. They need to see you read God's word. They need you to see it at night or in the morning if you're reading your devotion, or maybe you read it at lunchtime. That it's something that's important to you. Just like Jesus saw Joseph and his commitment to faith, and we see Jesus' commitment to prayer, they need to see you devoted to God's Word, that you find time regularly, that this book makes an impact on your life. That isn't that we're not perfect, that we're all going to make mistakes. That's why if my daughters had their time today, they could fill up an hour or two with all the mistakes that I've made with parents. I hope just the good has outweighed the bad for the most part. But parents, kids need to see you reading God's Word. They need to see that it's an important aspect of your life. Make Sunday school a priority, maybe VBS for your children. But they also need to see you pray more than just before the meal, which is good. It's important to do that. But they need to see you pray in times of crisis, times of hurt, times of joy, times of grief. They need to see that the same prayers that Jesus said to his Father are the prayers that incorporate our lives, that we pray for others, not only our family. We don't only pray in times of emergency, that we pray regularly because we want to communicate with our Heavenly Father. They need to see you watch. They need to see you serve and be an example of godliness in your community and in your church. They need to see you find your niche, that you do things for other people just because we've been called to do that. And that we get greater joy of being service to other people than we do for just serving ourselves. Because I really feel that the biggest responsibility as a father and a grandfather is getting our children prepared for eternity. I've been blessed. My dad has given me all kinds of things. Things that I've needed, things I've not had to go out and purchase at the time. My dad gave me a first down payment on our very first house. He said that Grandpa and Grandma Cobb did the same thing for him. He did that for us, the very first house we ever bought. He gave me my first car when I was graduating college. He bought a car from a girl that was getting ready to go on a mission field, and he bought that car for Betty and I. We called it, it was yellow. It was bright yellow. Yeah, the girls still remember it. It was the first car that Betty and I ever had, but he got that for me for my college graduation. He gave me the tiller that I still have today that I do with our garden at the house there. But one of the things that I'm most proud of him and my mom is that they made the decision to follow God and follow his example. And my brother and I got the privilege to baptize them many years ago at 9th Street Christian Church because they made faith an important part of their lives. But more than all those things that we can do for our children, if we're not preparing them for eternity, we're missing out on the greatest part of our father and daughter and son relationship. Is the day that we join together around God's throne and celebrate his goodness and his grace and his mercy together as one. You might say, well, hey, maybe I've missed the boat. Maybe it's too late for me to do anything. It's never too late. When they see you make that change, that you're going to put these things a priority in their life, it makes a difference even today. I've learned more from my dad watching than really any words of wisdom that he's given me because I'm more of a watcher. I've learned how to tie a hook. You know, so when I break off, I know how to do all the things on the boat except load the boat. He will not turn over the keys to the boat yet, all right? He doesn't trust me, and I understand that completely after some of my driving experiences when I was younger when he was trying to teach me. But as fathers and grandfathers, we need to keep the main thing the main thing. We need to live with the end in mind. And that's what we need to do to make sure we put those as priorities so that we walk together into eternity with Jesus by our side. All of us have had earthly fathers, some good, some great, some maybe not so good. But we've all have access to our Heavenly Father. And Jesus gave us the greatest gift. There in verse 14 of chapter 2, he says, I have destroyed the one who holds the fear of death, the one that holds the power of death. It means Jesus was the first one to go through that portal, to go through that door ahead of us. And that whenever each one of us will face that day when we take our last breath, Jesus is going to be standing right there next to us to usher us into the presence of God. And we only get that fear when we name him and we show that same example, that same commitment to our children and our grandchildren. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, he said, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Jesus Christ gives us the victory. And so what did Jesus see in Joseph? Hopefully the same thing that our children and our grandchildren will see in us. one that listens to God's call, one that is there to protect their family, one that is as respected and obeyed, and one that is willing to make changes in their life so they can be with their children and their grandchildren for eternity.